I want to welcome all of you to CCV on each of our six campuses today, and I trust that you had a great Thanksgiving. For the past several weeks, we've been preaching through the Sermon on the Mount. It's recorded in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. I believe it's the greatest sermon that Jesus ever preached. And as we've been working through this sermon, we see that he shares with us the principles that are necessary for living a dynamic Christian life. And we conclude today by Jesus encouraging us to make some wise decisions. You see, every day you and I are faced with decisions that will impact our life and our faith. Someone has said, your decisions determine your destiny. I want to repeat that. Your decisions will determine your destiny. So I want to ask you, are we going to make wise decisions or foolish decisions? Will we be nominal Christians? Or will we be followers of Jesus Christ who will take a stand and be all in no matter what the cost or the consequence? Most Americans today, I believe, are nominal Christians. You say, what's a nominal Christian? A nominal Christian is someone that believes in a personal God. They accept Jesus as the Son of God. They own a Bible. They want their children to receive religion and education in the schools. They believe in life after death. They even believe in prayer, yet they only pray when they're in trouble or when they want to win the lottery. You see, one of the main characteristics of nominal Christianity is that it has a form of godliness. That's called religion. It has a form of godliness, but no power. The work of the Holy Spirit and the power of God are missing. I want to ask you, does that closely describe your faith at the present time? My prayer today is that you will move from a nominal Christian to a Christian who is all in for Jesus Christ. And if you're going to do that, according to this scripture, there are three wise choices that we need to make. The first is choose the right path. The Bible says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. You see, in this passage, we find there are two different paths. There are two different ways to live life. The first path is the easy path. It's wide. It's also known as the entitlement path. What is entitlement today? I believe a definition for entitlement would be someone who says, I'm exempt from responsibility, and you should give me special treatment. I'll repeat that. If we feel entitled, we say, I am free from responsibility, and I should receive special treatment. It's the attitude today that everybody gets a trophy, whether you win or not. You get a trophy for just showing up. People who feel entitled have some of the following characteristics. They have that, as we said, that attitude of being special. They have a lifestyle with no boundaries and no restrictions. They have a refusal to accept responsibility, and they believe that freedom is the goal of life. Entitlement, they say, you know what, my life is going good right now. But as Proverbs 14 says, that kind of a life in the end will lead to death and destruction. Dr. John Townsend, in his great book, The Entitlement Cure, says that entitlement has a negative impact on our society today. Because of entitlement, companies must now deal with unmotivated employees. Parents are faced with raising self-centered children. Young adults are still living at home and refuse to grow up. Leaders expect special treatment because of their title, not because of their character. Marriages are torn apart by self-centered spouses, and ministries are controlled by prima donna leaders. I believe our world today suffers greatly from a culture that supports entitlement. Because the entitlement mindset says, the hard stuff, I'll deal with it later. Or the hard stuff, I might never deal with it. I'll let somebody else deal with it. And if we're not careful, people take the easy path in life. The danger is sometimes as Christians, we take the easy path. So what's the cure to entitlement? Jesus says it's the flip side. It's not the easy path. It is the difficult path or the hard path. Well, what's the hard path? A definition for the hard path would be it's the habit of doing what is best rather than what is comfortable. I want to repeat that. The hard path says, I will do what is best even if it is uncomfortable. You see, whereas entitlement directs you to give the minimum, to do the shortcut, to think only of yourself. The hard path says we're going to do what's best to reach the goal, even if it's difficult, uncomfortable, takes longer, and requires more energy. You might say, why in the world, as Christians, should we take the hard path? Because it was demonstrated for us by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Think about Jesus. He suffered, he was beaten, he was abused, he was crucified on a Roman cross, and he died for no other reason than his love for a world that didn't want him. And because Jesus took the hard path for us, I believe we should take the hard path for him. The Bible says in 1 Peter, therefore, since Christ suffered in his body, arm yourselves also with the same attitude, because he who has suffered in his body is done with sin. As a result, he does not live the rest of his earthly life for evil human desires, but rather for the will of God. The hard path, you see, is simply God's way. God's way will never fail you, but trust me, it may make you uncomfortable for a while. And that's the struggle with the hard path. God's way will never fail you. You read the end of the Bible, church is going to survive. Christians, we will be successful. Eternity is promised for those of us that take the hard path. But he does not guarantee that it's going to be easy along the way. It may become very uncomfortable. So the easy path is the way of entitlement. We just live for today and ignore the reality of tomorrow. The result is an only you live once mentality. The easy path requires nothing. We just follow along with the crowd. The easy path is filled with good intentions. But the hard path is the way of discipline. And so you see, I believe success is revealed by discipline. Think of it this way. You either pay the price of success today to enjoy the pleasures of success tomorrow. Think about that again. We pay the price of success today to enjoy the pleasures of success tomorrow. But some people say, I don't want to do that. And they turn it around and they say, no, I'm going to work hard right now and I'm going to live it up right now. I'm going to enjoy the pleasures of success today. And my response is, yes, you will pay the price tomorrow. Either way, we are going to have to pay the price if we live the hard life. Pursuing the hard path is a daily decision that you and I have to make to follow Jesus Christ and do what is right, whether other people do it or not. The hard path reminds us that life is no pain-free guarantee. And that's why for many followers of Christ, the hard path is lonely. Why? It goes against the crowd. You find out that you're all alone. George Bernard Shaw put it this way. He said, the reasonable man adapts himself to the world. In other words, you want to be reasonable? Go along with what everybody else says. But the unreasonable man persists in trying to adapt the world to himself. He's not changing to be like the world. He's trying to get the world to change to accept his values. Therefore, all progress depends on the unreasonable man. You see, the unreasonable man chooses the hard path. I want to ask you today, CCV, which path will you choose? Easy or difficult? Which path are you teaching your children to take? The path of discipline or the path of entitlement? Moses was traveling with the people of Israel in the wilderness. God had blessed them every step of the way. He had taken care of them, and they had that entitlement mentality. They thought everything, every day, God should just take care of them. And Moses got frustrated and he said to the people of Israel, see, I have set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. Now choose life that you and your children may live and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to his voice and hold fast to him. Do you want to experience life today for you and your children? He says, listen to God and hold fast to what he says. The first key for making wise decisions is we got to choose the right path, and it may be the difficult path. Secondly, choose the right teacher. Jesus said, watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. He goes on to say, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father. Choose the right teacher. Preachers and teachers can be used as false prophets simply by distorting the truth a little bit. Counselors can give you the wrong message by saying, you know what, I think the goal of life, God just wants you to be happy. There's no place that God says we're supposed to just be happy. Or advertisers, they do what? They tell us a part of the truth, and then they have a whole paragraph at the bottom of the advertisement on disclaimers. There's danger to look out for the person that's deceptive. We got to be aware of that because the false teachers are smooth. They'll take advantage of you if you're not careful. A young salesman was traveling through the hill country of West Virginia, and he stopped at a small grocery store to get a soda. And as he got the soda, his eyes immediately looked at a cat that was drinking out of a very expensive saucer. He was known for understanding the value of antiques, and he realized that was a very precious saucer. He was convinced the old guy that ran the store didn't know anything about the value of that saucer. So he decided he wanted to buy the saucer, but he thought, if I try to offer him money, he's going to know it's valuable and he's going to jack up the price. So what I'll do, I'll try to buy the cat and then ask him to simply throw in the saucer. And so he told the guy, are you willing to sell the cat? The guy said, maybe. That cat means a lot to me. The guy said, I'll give you $10. Oh, no. How about $50? No. They went back and forth, and finally, the guy agreed to pay $300 for the cat. He paid $300 for the cat. He's on his way out the door, and he said, say, would you mind throwing in that saucer? Because I saw that cat was drinking on that saucer. And the guy said, no, the saucer's not for sale. So the young guy tried to buy the saucer. They went back and forth. He offered him up to $500, and the guy still would not sell the saucer. He said, it's not for sale at any price. And the young guy said, why won't you sell me the saucer? He said, because it's my lucky saucer. He said, what do you mean it's your lucky saucer? He said, I've already sold 32 cats with that saucer this week. That's bad. That is bad. So how do you know if a person is truthful or deceptive? How do you know which person to follow, to trust, or believe in? It takes discernment. Truth is revealed by discernment. Bible puts it this way. Test everything. Hold on to the good, avoid every kind of evil. See, discern, test it, and hang on to what's good. Get rid of that which is evil. That's why as followers of Christ today, I believe it's so important that we have discernment. You know why? Discernment wasn't that difficult when I grew up. We didn't have the internet. I didn't get a television until I was in high school. So I had my old country preacher and my mom and dad. That was my teachers. Today, you've got all kinds of choices with the internet and TV and YouTube and you name it. We've got different choices, different teachers, different interpretations, and a different spiritual flavor for every day of the week. You need discernment. The Bible describes false teachers as those that add to the gospel. They draw attention to themselves. They tell us what we want to hear instead of what we need to hear. They're more concerned about charisma than character. They share great plans, but they have no fruit. And they always preach Jesus, but they always preach Jesus plus. On the other hand, the Bible describes good teachers as those who preach the Bible only. Their concern is drawing attention to the message instead of the messenger. They tell us what we need to hear instead of what we want to hear. Their teaching is consistent with their character, and they produce fruit, more disciples of Jesus Christ. So how would you know that I'm a good teacher or a false teacher? How would you know if you came to church every week whether what the person was saying was good or bad? How would you know if CCV, our ministry, was the real thing? If you would ask me that, my answer would be, do you see any fruit from our ministry? After being a part of the church of CCV, is your marriage any better? Are you putting the needs of others ahead of yourself? You find yourself becoming more generous with your time and your money? Are you displaying Christian values in the marketplace? Are you raising your children to put God first? Are you sharing Jesus with your neighbors? Are people being saved? Is our lifestyle more like the world, or is our lifestyle more like Jesus Christ? Or probably the bottom line would be, if CCV did not exist in this valley, would it make any difference? The Apostle Paul said to the Christians at Corinth, you are our letter of recommendation, written on our hearts, known and read by everybody. You show that you're a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but the Spirit of the living God. So when people say to me, how successful is the ministry of CCV? I have to say, look at you. Oh, it's important if you want to go to heaven that you get those CCV stickers on your car. You know I'm going to tell you that. But you know what's more important to put a CCV sticker on your car? It's having Jesus Christ at the center of your life. So that when people see us, the way we live day in and day out, the way we make decisions, they can see there's a marked difference in the quality and character that we have, and it's because of Jesus Christ. Success is often determined by the choices we make. Jesus says, choose the right path, choose the right teacher. Thirdly, choose the right foundation. Jesus finishes this great sermon by saying, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house upon the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it didn't fall because it had its foundation on the rock. But he says, everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. You see, every day, each of us is building our lives. We're building a foundation. We can't avoid it. Each and every day, we have to make choices and decisions. Are we going to lie or tell the truth? Are we going to hold on to the resentment from the past, or are we going to extend forgiveness? Are we going to tear others down, or are we going to build them up? Are we going to keep Jesus to ourselves, or are we going to share Jesus with others? Are we going to hang tough when troubles come, or are we going to throw in the towel and run away? What kind of a foundation and life are you trying to build? Because you see, faith is revealed by storms. Our faith is revealed by the storms in life. As we read this last part of the sermon, I think we wish that Jesus would say, you know what? There's two different houses with two different foundations, but there's no storms that come. But that's not reality. We live in a world today that is fallen and sinful. We live in a world that has abuse and racism and cancer and divorce and suffering and terrorists and accidents and moral collapse. And that's why we need a strong foundation, because it's the foundation's revealed when the struggles and storms of life come our way. CCV, I want to ask you, are you ready to face the storms that are coming your way? Because they are coming our way. Are you preparing your children and your grandchildren to live in a country that is moving farther and farther away from Christian values? Are you teaching your children to stand alone when the peer pressure is coming and do not conform? See, the foolish builder builds short term. Their mentality is you go around once, live for today, and they make no plans for tomorrow. And all throughout this Sermon on the Mount, we see Jesus trying to get his young disciples, those new Christians, he's trying to get them to plan for eternity, because no doubt they were excited. Jesus was a teacher. In their mind, he was going to overthrow the Romans and set up a new kingdom, and they were pumped. And he's saying, you're missing the point. It's not about what we do in the short term. One day, he's saying, I'm not going to be here, and the struggle and storms are going to come, and are you prepared to stand up and even lose your life for the cause of Jesus Christ? And so the wise builder plans long term. The wise builder lives on earth, but they're planning for eternity. And when we're wise builders, we understand that the way we sow and the decisions we make today, the reaping will come later. The Bible puts it this way, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature from that nature will reap destruction. But the one who sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. So I want to ask you on all of our campuses, what are you putting into your life foundation that will help you go the distance and stand up against the storms of life? Two or three times I've shared with you over the years the sermon about the three chairs. And if you're visiting or new to CCV on one of our campuses, let me try to explain a little bit what that is. Someone has compared the Christian life to three chairs. The first chair is someone that loves God and puts God first. The second chair is someone that loves God but puts themselves first. And the third chair, someone that loves themselves, so they just put themselves first. I want to repeat that. The first chair, someone that loves God, puts God first. Second chair, we love God, but we put ourselves first. The third chair, we love ourselves, so we put ourselves first. I've been preaching for almost 50 years, and I've been trying to observe Christians for a long time. And I've come to two conclusions. One is, there is very little difference between the second chair and the third chair. I'll repeat that. There's very little difference between the second chair, that person that's a lot of them are Christians, a lot of you on all our campuses. You say, I love God, but you live totally for yourself. And there's very little difference, believe it or not, between you and the people that don't even go to church and don't even know Jesus. You know why? You have the same foundation. And the foundation is built on yourselves. It's all about you. Your happiness, your success, your children, your retirement, your health, your grandchildren, your image. And a self-centered lifestyle and foundation will not stand up against the storms of life. You know why? God never intended the Christian life to be about you. God never intended the Christian life to be about me. The first commandment was not love yourself with all you've got. It was love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The second commandment was not even love yourself. It was love your neighbor the way you would think of yourself. Again, my experience, there's very little difference between the second chair person that calls themselves a follower of Christ but lives for themselves and those that simply live for themselves. And that's why today we can call ourselves a Christian nation, but our values and lifestyle are far from biblical teaching. On the other hand, my experience over 50 years, there is a huge difference between the first chair and the second chair. The first chair that says, I love God and I'm going to put God first, there's a big difference between that person and the one that says, I love God, but I'm putting myself first. And you know the difference? The difference is because they have two totally different foundations. The first chair, their foundation is God. The second chair, their foundation is themselves. How do you build a foundation on God? Hang with me. You put God first. Your values, your lifestyle, your commitment, your priorities, it's all centered on God. And that's why in this study, over the years, as they've been studying the first and second and third chair, you know what's interesting? Parents who live in the second chair, they go to church, but they put themselves first. When their kids grow up, their kids do not remain in the church. Their kids go over here, and they don't even believe in Jesus Christ. You know why? Because their parents were inconsistent. They saw their parents pray at the table. They saw their parents talk about how important God was, and God was very important to them, unless they wanted to go to the lake or go to the mountains or play youth sports on Sunday or go to a Cardinals game and miss church. You just fill in the blanks. And their kids said, wait a minute, what you said did not line up with the way you lived, and so we don't want that. On the other hand, the statistics are overwhelming. The parents that love God and put God first, their kids grow up and put God first. You know why? Their lives were consistent. They didn't have to live one way and tell their kids something else. Their kids could see that the priority was weekly worship. God was first in everything that they did. And so I want to ask you, what's your foundation? And how do we know the foundation that's going to be different? What's the key to the first chair foundation? Here it is. You put God's word into practice. That's what Jesus said. He's preached for three chapters, and he said the storms are going to come, and the solid foundation is the one who hears the word and puts it into practice. The foundation built on the sand, they hear the Bible every week too, but they don't apply it to their lives, and when the storm comes, they don't do anything. James put this way, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves, do what it says. Something occurred to me this week. If we were sick physically, all of us do what? We call a physician. And we make an appointment with the doctor, and we go to the doctor and say, doctor, man, I'm not feeling good. And the doctor makes his diagnosis, and he says, this is what I think you should do. And we all do what? We go home and go, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm going to do my own thing. We don't do that. We go to the physician because we're sick physically. We ask his advice. He tells us what to do, and we take his advice so we can get better. And yet, isn't it amazing that millions of Christians go to churches every week all across America, and we listen to the great physician give his advice to us on how we can be spiritually healthy, and we hear it week after week, and we go home and do whatever we want to do, and we expect to be healthy spiritually. That's why faith without works is a farce, but faith with works is a force. I believe that all of us at CCV have to deal with one of two problems as followers of Jesus Christ. We have to deal with either a knowledge problem or an obedience problem. Hang with me. If we have a knowledge problem, we would say what? Don, I don't know what the Bible says. I just don't know enough about the Bible. That's pretty easy to solve. If you don't know enough about the Bible, how do you get better? You read the Bible. You open the Bible and study it for yourself and read it, and God's going to tell you how to live a successful life. But most of us as Christians, I'm not sure our problem is a knowledge problem. I think it's an obedient problem. We know what the Bible says. We just choose not to do it. Someone has said most Christians are educated way beyond their obedience. And so if you would say, Don, I don't know what I'm supposed to do in the Bible, well, whatever you've read and you've heard from going to church and reading the Bible, how's that kept you from living out and putting God's word into practice? You see, every day you and I have to make decisions regarding the path we're going to take, the teachers that we're going to listen to, and the foundation we will build our lives upon. So here's the takeaway today. What's one decision you need to make this week? Hang with me on all of our campuses. Let me help you. Just write down one thing. Maybe your decision would be, you know what? I need to choose a different path. I've been going the easy path. I've been going along with the crowd, with everybody else, and that is not ending up well in my life. I need to make a decision to take a more difficult path, the path where very few go, but it's a path that leads to life. And so you would say, you know what? I'm going to take the hard path. Or maybe you would say, you know what? My kids, I give them everything. They're so entitled. I give them everything and they still want more. And maybe I need to pull back on the entitlement and try to up the discipline a little bit to prepare them for the storms. Maybe your one decision is to reevaluate your path. Or maybe your decision is you're listening to too many different teachers. Oh, you come here on church, you listen to this person for Bible study, this person on TV, and trust me, if you're listening to 15 different preachers today, God bless you, you're going to be messed up. Because you're going to hear 15 different things. And I would say, if it's not me or this church, then find something else and stick with it. But this idea of listening to 15 different preachers and teachers, it would mess me up. Find someone that's teaching you the truth and their life is consistent with their character and their values and their message, and follow them as they're trying to follow Christ. Who are you listening to? Thirdly, what about your foundation? Do you find yourselves really just living for today? And all the things you're thinking about is just to get through this week or get through this month or get through this year? Or are you really thinking about the decisions, the investments that you're making today are going to make a huge difference for eternity? What's your foundation on? Can you handle the storms of life? Because, trust me, you live long enough, you're going to face some storms. And if you don't have a foundation built upon Jesus Christ, you are going to be in trouble. So look back. Don't make seven decisions. What's one decision? One change that you would like to make this week. Why is that important? Because your decision will determine your destiny. CCV, let's choose wisely. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you for this sermon. It's a sermon that I find myself wanting to read and continuing to read over and over and over because the truth, the nuggets in it are incredible. Lord, I pray that as people a part of CCV, we would have open hearts and open minds today that realize that a lot of us maybe didn't want to hear the truth today, but we're taking it pretty easy in the Christian life. We're in that second chair because, we say we love you and we put you first as long as there's nothing else on our schedule that gets in the way of worshiping and serving you. God, help us, because our kids can see that inconsistency. And when they leave, they're not going to live their lives that way. Lord, I thank you for the parents in our church that put you first. They're in church every week. It's a priority. They serve. They give. Their kids see their commitment. And so their kids see their parents' joy for the Lord, and they want to grow up and experience the same joy. Lord, today, you've reminded us that the difference between the good foundation and the bad foundation is, are we bearing any fruit? So help us not be deceived to think that just because we've said you're our Lord, that we get a free pass into eternity. Bottom line is, are we bearing any fruit? Are we any impacting the people around us for Jesus Christ? Lord, we know we're here to impact this city, this valley. And that's our goal and that's our mission. So give us the courage and boldness today to make the right choices, to make Jesus a reality in this city. In your name we pray. Amen.